Support for this public radio podcast is provided by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org. And by Constellation Energy, a global provider of fuels, power, and energy services, committed to environmentally sound, energy-efficient, and sustainable energy solutions. Constellation Energy, the way energy works.
A grande cup of cash.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Starbucks is facing a growing list of problems. Sales are down, costs are up, the company's stock is struggling, and now a courtroom loss in California. Last night, a judge in San Diego ordered Starbucks to pay California baristas $100 million in lost tips. The judge said it violated state law that employees had to share their tips with shift supervisors. Starbucks plans to appeal. The company says the ruling is beyond all common sense and reason. The New York Auto Show opens today. Of course, there'll be a lot of talk about cars of the future. But U.S. automakers really have to focus on the present. That includes an economy that might be in recession. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
GM's playing with its balance sheet, and Ford's cutting costs again, and Chrysler's lowering production. David Sedgwick with Automotive News says that's really all U.S. automakers can do to weather an economic train wreck. Cutting production will mean smaller profits, but that's better than unsold inventory piling up on dealer lots. Sedgwick's concerned about the future of Chrysler and Ford.
They both have a cash cushion, although we think Chrysler's cash cushion is pretty thin. And if I had to worry about any one automaker in the short term, it would be Chrysler.
Especially if a recession sparks a price war. Sedgwick says that would be hard on Chrysler. But GM's not up to speed either. As gas gets more expensive, consumers want smaller cars, not exactly a big three specialty. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Not many stock markets doing business today. Yesterday, plunging oil and gold prices helped Wall Street complete its best week in a while. The Dow gained 261 points to finish at 12,361. The Nasdaq climbed 48 to 2258, and the S&P 500 was up 31 to 1329. Those were all about 2% gains. Same story in Tokyo today. The Nikkei added about 2%. There are a few potential Cinderella stories in this year's NCAA tournament. One of them, the Drake Bulldogs. They play Western Kentucky today. This is Drake's first tournament appearance in 37 years, and it could mean big money for the small school. Drake's in Iowa, by the way. Dan Gretsch has more.
Drake expects to cash in on its Cinderella season.
There are so many different areas that it can pay off for a school like Drake, and will.
Ross Nethery is managing editor of Sports Business Journal.
It would see an uptick in the number of applicants. It would see an uptick in merchandise sales, hats and jerseys and T-shirts. It may mean more when Drake negotiates a radio deal.
The most positive could be increased donations by alums and others saying, finally our school has made it.
That's Kenneth Shropshire, a sports marketing professor at Wharton. And there's recent precedent. 2 years back, George Mason was the mystery guest in the NCAA tournament. They made it all the way to the Final Four. Since then, out-of-state applicants to the Virginia University have jumped 40%. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, working to help reduce greenhouse gases with 10 billion transit trips per year at publictransportation.org. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
It's been a pretty tough stretch for the markets and the economy. I was thinking maybe we could use a chuckle. So without further ado, may I present the stand-up economist.
So you might be an economist if you think that America's next top model is a nonlinear growth model with endogenous technological change. I'm actually well-trained to be a stand-up comic because one of the hard things about stand-up comedy is learning to deal with failure. I'm actually an expert at dealing with failure because I used to teach introductory microeconomics at 8 o'clock in the morning in Walla Walla, Washington.
His name is Yoram Bauman. Yoram, how does one become a stand-up economist?
Mostly by accident. While I was in graduate school, I sort of blew off some steam by writing a parody of an economics textbook. I passed it around the department, and then it ended up getting published in this science humor journal called The Annals of Improbable Research. And they happened to do a humor session every year, so they invited me to present my paper there, which I did, and I had so much fun with it, I decided I needed to try it down at the comedy club.
And how'd that go?
Kind of a mixed bag. I quickly learned that I needed to tell some jokes that were not just about economics, but I've since learned to deal with crowds that are kind of economics crowds and crowds that are a little more drunk than that, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually got laughs on the first ever joke that I told at a comedy club was how my father was not thrilled that I was taking my PhD in economics and moving into the realm of stand-up comedy. He said, Yoram, you could never be a stand-up economist. There's no demand. And I said, don't worry, Dad, I'm a supply-side economist. I just stand up and let the jokes trickle down. I believe in the laffer curve.
I don't know, Yoram. That one might deserve a little heckling. Anyway, I know that you're an environmental economist. And obviously, climate change is a big concern right now, but it's not very funny. So how do you approach that one?
I can only give you a joke that I'm kind of working on. I can't say that it's really ready for prime time yet, but the joke is that the evidence of climate change is everywhere, that every year the snows start melting earlier and every year the flowers start to bloom earlier. And the one that economists really like is that every year the Christmas shopping season starts earlier.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Do you find, though, that using humor does help you maybe explain things better?
Oh, absolutely. The challenge that economists have is that we've been talking about environmental taxes, environmental tax reform for 80 years, going on 100 years. It's been incredibly difficult to move it actually into practice. So I figured, why not give it a try of doing something with humor, and maybe it'll stick that way.
Yoram Bauman, the stand-up economist. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
Yoram teaches at the University of Washington in Seattle. You can find a link to his website at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.